Welcome to Prime Spark. I'm Sarah Hart, and I'm so happy you're joining us today. Prime Spark is designed for women over 55 who are having an impact on the world around them or would like to. Today, I am absolutely delighted to welcome to the show Susan Schwartz. Susan Schwartz could be called the authority on authenticity, but the truth is, she prefers not to be categorized. Over the course of her career, Susan has been and continues to be a brand strategist, career counselor, marketing guru, image consultant, corporate trainer, public speaker, writer, and pundit. She is best known for her ability to see and appreciate who people really are, to identify their authentic essence, frequently before people recognize it for themselves. Two basic beliefs are at the core of all Susan's work and inform everything she does. First, you've got to be you. And second, the more you're you, the better it gets. It makes sense then that Susan named her business YooHoo Branding. As YooHoo Branding principal, Susan helps entrepreneurs and individuals express themselves with clarity, confidence, consistency, and command, and is proud that she just celebrated her 17th year in business. Welcome, Susan.
Thank you, Sarah. That's a lovely introduction.
Yeah, good. Just to get started, let me ask you, do you experience getting older? If so, what is that experience? And if not, why do you think it is that you don't?
Well, I experience getting older because I think it's a little hard to escape the whole message from, you know, the society about, I think it's kind of a dual-edged sword about, you know, about retirement. There's an expectation that when you reach a certain age, that's the retirement age. And so you're, you know, everybody talks about retirement, like it comes to you like a exit on the freeway. And, you know, when you're at a certain age, which I just have, 65, you know, there's this, you know, there's a lot of messages that if you don't feel any different at 65 than you felt at 55 or at 45, it's kind of a disconnect between your experience and the messages you're getting from society. So yes, I experience it externally, much less so internally.
Ah, interesting. So how do you think, given all those messages that at least are out there, how can women make their lives better as they get older?
Well, I think one of the important things to do is to have your own experience and to not let, as we did when we were younger, you know, when you were younger and you read the magazines and, you know, every, you know, young girl when I was growing up was supposed to be leggy and blonde and I was short and brunette. You know, I think the same thing continues as you get older, that you can't let other people tell you who you are or who you should be or what's appropriate for your age or how to dress or what to think. You know, I think you have to continue, and it gets easier as you get older, I think, to be your own person.
So what are some of the things you're doing now that are most meaningful for you as you make your journey to being your own person?
Well, I think it's an ongoing effort to, you know, to check in with myself and say, you know, how do I feel and how do I feel about what's going on and where do I feel drawn to participate or where do I feel not drawn to participate or what do I feel it's important to do? I think currently, you know, politics has a big attraction to me and I'm trying to be more active in that realm. And I think that whatever it is, you know, whether you're continuing to work or you're deciding you want to do something new, have, you know, start a new career or start, you know, an endeavor that you never had time to do. I mean, I think the most important thing women can do is stay current with themselves, not allow themselves to be locked or framed into a role that they've outgrown.
So what are some of the things that women do to keep from falling into the trap of realizing their full potential and ignoring these messages?
Well, you know, I think that women much more than men have defined roles, especially around family and about, you know, who they should be and how they should be. And so I think that it's really just essential to have the courage to say, I'm able to think for myself and I'm going to make choices about how do I want to spend my time and who I want to spend my time with. I think as women, we are essentially taught to devalue ourselves, you know, monetarily and emotionally, and to just downplay the extraordinary value and contribution that we are in the world. And I think that, recently with all of the marches all around the world, we're seeing that and appreciating how powerful we are. And I think each of us individually have to have the opportunity to appreciate that women bring something different, not better, but definitely different than men bring to the world. And I think that we need to be in greater appreciation of that. And I think that we are beginning to get there, which is kind of shocking after, all this time. But whatever time it takes is the time it takes. And I'm glad it's moving in that direction.
Yes, me too. It sounds as if older women may need to create their own definition of success for later in life. Do you agree with that? And if you do, how can they do that?
Well, I absolutely agree with it. I don't just think it's older women. I think that, when we're in the middle of our careers, it's very easy to say, I'm successful because I have this title, or I'm successful because I make this salary, or I'm successful because, my kids got into a great college or something. And I think that as you move away from that time in your life where your career is the focus of your life and you are, putting your time and attention toward other things, or even if you are still working, it's still important to develop a healthy sense of self-appreciation by making your own goals and deciding for yourself, what is it that is meaningful to you? Is it, do you want to run a race, or do you want to show up and speak at a town hall meeting, or what is a challenge for you? What makes you feel like you're still growing? I think that as you get older, the need to keep growing remains. And I think that learning a new language or meeting new people or just trying a new food or whatever it is. I mean, just continuing to have that sense of exploration and growth is very important.
So what dreams haven't you realized yet?
Well, this is very painful.
I'm sorry.
Because I'm really face to face with this. My really big dream is to write a musical. And I've been, kind of fooling around with it for several years. And I just came back from New York, where there was a big convention, a Broadway convention. And I kind of had a major dose of reality, which made me feel like maybe that's not going to happen. But, so I'm kind of trying to come to terms with, and I think it's kind of a dance, with what do you want to do and what's possible and what's likely and trying to figure all that out. But I certainly have that dream, and I'm trying to decide what my relationship is to it right now, whether it makes sense for me to devote a lot of time to it, or the time that it takes to bring it into reality or not. But I think that dreams come at every age, and they can be realized at any age. It's just really a question of what your commitment is.
I would suspect that you coach women who have dreams but aren't sure they can do it and don't know if they should give up or keep going or do something else. What would you say to them if they said to you what you've just said to you?
Well, I have a quadrant, you know, one of those kind of like $4 decision making tools that it's really about deciding what is your level of commitment. I think the place where not just women, but we all get hung up is in the place where I should do this is like, I should lose 20 pounds. I'm not really committed to losing 20 pounds, but I should do it. And so we keep, it's that external thing, those voices that tell us, I should do this. But we're not moving toward it. So what I would ask them, what I would say is, what is your level of commitment? You know, what does this mean to you? Is this something that you've been carrying this around and you've been waiting for the right time, or it's an idea that you had, but that it sounds like a good idea, but when it comes down to it, you're not really committed to it. So the question is, what is your level of commitment? If you are committed and you really want to do it, then commit fully and just really know that it's going to take a lot of time and tension and energy and desire to get it done. And if you can't do that now, doesn't mean you're never going to do it, but take it off of your plate. Don't be strapped. Don't be torn in different directions by saying, well, you know, I really want to run a marathon. Of course, I don't want to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and run down the block, but I really want to run a marathon. Well, no, you don't, you know? So it's kind of like, if you're going to do it, then go for it all the way and have the satisfaction of completing it. If you're not ready to do it, then be honest with yourself and say, you know what, this sounds good, but the truth is I'm not ready to commit. So take it away, get it off, get rid of it. Temporary, you know, for however long, let it go until you're ready to say yes.
I love it. Could you tell us just again what those four boxes are? Because people might find that really helpful.
Okay, well, so if you think of four boxes, the first question is it your idea or is it somebody else's idea? And if it's your idea, so this is like the top left box. If it's your idea and you want to say yes to it, meaning you are 100% committed to doing it. It doesn't mean you know how you're going to do it. It doesn't mean you have everything in plan or in place. You just know, yes, I am committed. I call that box bucket, like it's on my bucket list. This is something I am doing now. I am committed to doing it. And given the level of commitment it takes to do, chances are you don't have that many things on your bucket list at once, because it takes a real deep 100% commitment. So that's bucket. That's your idea and you're saying yes. If it's your idea and you can't say yes to it, then I'm going to use a word that I use a more colorful word. Let's just say it's chuck it, but I use a different word with an F. But let's just say it's chuck it. Okay? So anything you can't say 100% yes to, then you just say no. And you don't kind of get fuzzy in the middle. So it's kind of like, if I have an idea and I am not 100% yes for it, then I'm just going to chuck it for now. Then, so those are, that's if it's my idea, bucket or chuck it. Now, let's say somebody else's idea. Let's say, Sarah, you call me up and you say, Susan, you know, would you like to go to the movies next Tuesday? So this is your idea. Now, I have two choices. I can either say yes or I can say no. If I say yes, it's your idea, so I have to go along with you running the show. I'm not going to say, yeah, Sarah, I'd like to go to the movies next Tuesday, but I don't really want to go to the movies. I want to go bowling. Well, that's not going to the movies. You asked me, do I want to go to the movies? So if I say, yes, Sarah, I'd like to go to the movies with you next Tuesday, then my choice is to suck it, meaning I'm going to suck it up. Because if I am agreeing to what you want to do, then I have to go along with your gig. And if I can't do, and if I can't go along with it, if I can't say 100% yes right now, then I'm going to duck it. So it's buck it, chuck it, suck it, or duck it.
I love it.
But it's okay. It's very clear, because the point is that if you can't say yes, then you say no. It's like you can't be a little bit pregnant. You're either pregnant or you're not. you're either saying yes or you're saying no. And this place where we leave ourselves in the middle, kind of like half committed, is where we waste a lot of time and energy.
Yeah, it seems to me that even if it might be sad, to take it off the list, at least for now, right, is also a relief.
Absolutely, because then you have the energy to do those things to which you are absolutely committed, and then you have the satisfaction of getting them done.
Right.
Rather than keeping yourself in this kind of like, you know, excess limbo.
Right. So of the things you've done in your life, what three things are you proudest of?
Oh, well, one thing I'm very proud of is a book that I wrote called Teddy Bear Philosophy, Things My Teddy Bear Taught Me About Life, Love, and the Pursuit of Happiness. And I've been a writer my whole life. I've always been writing something. And I have files full of book ideas, the majority of which, you know, I've never managed to complete. But in this particular case, I had this idea, and I mentioned it to some friends, and they said, oh, I like that. You should do it. And in that moment, I made a bucket decision. I said, okay. And I really knew from the very get-go that I was going to get that book done. And I sat down, and I wrote a book proposal, and I got an agent, and I got a photographer, and I did the book. And it was really because I gave it 100% of my time and attention. So I'm very proud of that. I'm very proud that I have sustained myself through a very varied career doing work that I find that I love and that's important to me. I'm very proud that I never sold myself out by doing work that I just did for a paycheck. I haven't had the benefit of having, you know, kind of like, working myself up in a corporation, maybe, and getting a big title or a big office or something. But I always did work and continue to do work that I find personally meaningful and rewarding. And I'm proud of that. And I think the other thing that I'm proud of is kind of that I have done many different things and tried many different things, and I've been courageous in not letting myself be defined by what the normal or the expected kind of route the route that other people feel like is what you should be doing. I always kind of went my own way. And I'm proud of that.
That's great. That's great. So you have, even in my opinion, even though you've done lots of different things, you have a very strong personal brand. Even though you've done a lot of things, you still have a very strong personal brand. How can a woman over 55 create, if she doesn't currently have a strong, powerful personal brand? How can she do that?
Well, I think, your personal brand, the reason why I called my business You Who, YOUWHO, like, who are you? You Who, is because I really do believe that the more you're you, the better it gets. And I think that to create your personal brand is really a matter of appreciating who you are and defining what is essential to you. And essential may be that, you are scrupulously honest, or essential may be that you feel it's, that helping others is the most important thing in the world, or whatever it is. I mean, I think that what I hear women do is kind of dismiss their gifts or how they see the world, because they say, well, everybody's that way. Well, if everybody's that way or nobody is that way, it doesn't really matter. The point is, what's true for you? What is your essential truth? What is the lens through which you see the world? And it can be very hard to see it because it's so much a part of who you are that you can't really distinguish, you know, you can't see yourself in enough objective relief to appreciate it. But I think that to define your personal brand is to recognize your deepest and most profound, simplest beliefs and stand for that with, you know, with a lot of pride.
I hear a lot of older women expressing a fear and a feeling that they are or could become invisible because because of how our society deals with older women. Is it possible that having a personal brand helps to avoid that?
Well, I think when you have a personal brand, when you know who you are, then it's easier to stand for yourself because you don't allow, you know, I think other people may kind of, you know, walk by you or whatever, but if you know who you are and you feel good about yourself, then you show up. If you feel like you're being dismissed, then you speak up for yourself. When you know who you are, you speak your truth. You find a way to be relevant. And I think if you're becoming invisible, then you're either, you know, not keeping current maybe, or you're allowing yourself to be overlooked. And if that happens, then it's, you know, incumbent upon the person to say, excuse me, and say what she needs to say.
Given your sense of that, Susan, what woman in history do you most admire?
Oh, gee, what woman in history do I most admire?
Or living now, I mean, it doesn't need to be historical.
Well, I think Michelle Obama is just a role model par excellence. You know, I think that she is somebody who is under tremendous pressures of all kinds. People, you know, just the pressure that came just from being, you know, the first Black first lady. But also, you know, people who said was so eloquent and so authentic and so powerful and so commanding. And she spoke her truth and she speaks her truth at such an unassailable level, you know, that she just, everything about her is clear and congruent and compelling. I just find that even when she stands up to speak, even before she says anything, she has such clarity of her convictions and such power and such emotional connection with herself and with her, you know, with her beliefs and her audience, that she is, that I just think she's extraordinary. I think that she has so much to teach us, and I really hope that we have the opportunity to learn more from her and hear more from her.
Yes, I think many of us feel that way. So we're just about at the end, but can you tell me very briefly what you might tell your younger self from where you are now?
I would tell my younger self to have more fun. You know, I think that we make things, unimportant things serious. And the serious things, the things that are really important, like treating each other with respect and valuing people's contributions and learning from everybody you meet, those are the important things. You know, what's not important is, you know, what people think of you or how you measure up on some scale that who cares about anyway. You know, but I think having fun, when we have fun, when we bring delight and excitement and energy to our lives, It's because we're discovering things and we're learning things and we're enjoying ourselves and we come from that place. We free ourselves to be a contribution. So I think that finding ways to have fun and not silly, you know, not just for entertainment for the sake of entertainment, but have fun in a deep play sense and have fun in a passionate enjoyment and a delight of discovery sense.
Yes.
I think is what I would say, to spend more time doing that, to discover what makes you feel like this is just the most amazing thing in your life and do more of that.
Great note to end on. So Susan, if somebody would like to get in touch with you to find out more about your work, how can they do that?
They can write to me at Susan, S-U-S-A-N, at Yoohoo, Y-O-U-W-H-O, YoohooBranding.com.
Fantastic. And if any of you would like to know more about Prime Spark or the work my company HeartCom does, please contact me at Sarah Hart, S-A-R-A-H-A-R-T, at HeartCom, H-A-R-T-C-O-M, .com. Thank you, Susan. Bye.
Thank you, Sarah. Bye.